It was certainly an unusual election, as the early voter and absentee ballots made for some late-breaking results. Millions of votes for president still to be counted in five key battleground states. One congressional race thought to be much closer in this region wasn't. Joining WFIR anchor reporter Gene Moreno and me live by phone is our political analyst and Virginia Tech professor Dr. Bob Den to help us sort all this out. Dr. Bob, good morning.
Good morning.
Always a pleasure to have you, sir. Hope you're well. Okay, here we go, Dr. Bob. President Trump declaring victory already earlier this morning, threatening to go to the Supreme Court to get the counting of mail-in ballots stopped. Joe Biden urging patience. Dr. Bob, could we be looking at 4 of 5, Gore versus Bush hanging chance fight here? What does the American public think, do you think, about all of this?
Well, I think we certainly are headed. There was signals that indeed we would be headed in this direction if it was going to be very close. President Trump certainly exceeded expectations, even among the states that are not called yet. There are, 3 to 4 million votes total across the nation that still needs to be counted. So it is a question mark, and I have to say that it really worries me. For each day that we wait until there's a decision, increases the intensity of emotion on both sides, and we may well see what some of us were fearing, some 77% of Americans fearing, some sort of violence or disruptive protest and what have you. So it's a delicate situation, but I'm not surprised by that. I am surprised by the strength that Trump was showing. Many of the polls in the battleground states, let's take CBS, for example, they were showing Biden leading by 2, 3, 4, and yet the plus or minus, the margin of error was up to 6%. So a lot of that was misleading, going up to the election, setting certain expectations. But clearly, President Trump exceeded expectations in the vote.
Good morning, Dr. Bob. This is Gene. I'm sure it was a late night for you like it was for us in an early morning. You know, many of the polls had Joe Biden up in some of the battleground states. Assuming those votes, he doesn't get the votes for the ballots to be counted. There were polls showing many of the Senate races much closer than they actually turn out to be, you know, so the Democrats are not going to flip the Senate. Should some of these poll takers find a new line of work or what?
Well, it's interesting because with the early voting, that makes it very difficult. How do you capture someone in terms of their intent if they've already voted? How do you know what that early vote looks like by age, gender, and what have you? So it really complicates trying to get an accurate poll. In addition to, we've seen a generational, this large turnout also seeing a generational shift. Millennials now are the largest voting bloc. Us poor baby boomers are no longer in control as it relates to the gross votes. And so it is more difficult when you have voting, early voting, high turnout. It does bring into question of how do you compose that sample. And they used a combination, both in terms of phone and exit, people who had already voted. So they tried to account for some of that. And to be honest, again, a lot of those states were within the margin of error, but it certainly is less predictive and it's more difficult for the pollsters without question.
We're talking with Dr. Bob Denton, our political analyst. I'm Gene Moreno with Joey Self. I wanted to talk about a few of the Senate and congressional races. excuse me. And you know, the all these absentee ballots, and some of these races, even in Virginia, some of the congressional races, it looked like in a lot of cases the Democrats were going to lose a ton of seats, and then boom, these late ballots come in towards the end of the night. Abigail Spanberger in the 7th is behind within the margin of error, so she could still lose. But and Daniel Gade, most of the night, the AP called Warner the Senate victory early. Gade was well ahead, and if you looked at the Department of Elections vote in the night, but apparently they had some inside information that the Nova vote would come in late. But is this just what we're going to expect going forward, Bob, if early voting remains a norm where people are just going to have to kind of hold their breath and wait for those absentee ballots to come in?
Absolutely, and what we've seen so far is that absentee ballots favor Democrats, and that's why even in the 2nd, certainly even the 7th, where there's only about 80% or in one case of the absentee counted, they're counted last. But for decades now, Northern Virginia, they dump at the very end. We've seen this cycle where all of a sudden Republicans look like they're doing fairly well, and then very late at night, Fairfax and some of those counties come in, and it changes that dynamics. So there is a pattern of early vote, and that's why getting the early vote, perhaps the party's strategy now, is to try to focus a campaign, as part of your campaign, is now going to be on the early vote. I think that can be a little bit problematic. I think, obviously, we're going to be in election season, no more election day. What does that mean in terms of the candidates, the campaigns, when people are voting before there's even the last debate? What about an October surprise? We're just going to have to figure that out. But I think going forward, it's going to be part of our electoral process. And we will, because of the early vote, it's going to take longer to determine winners across from not only from the president, but all the way down to the congressional level. That does generate some anxiety. And again, with each day that there's a delay in understanding and knowing, what does that do about trusting the results? And what does that do about in this very polarized, tense period that we are? It just exacerbates it, in my opinion.
Before I throw it back to Joey, you know, we even saw that in Roanoke City, Bob, where the election for city council and for mayor had the former mayor, David Bowers, ahead of Sherman Lee, the incumbent for most of the night. Well, the absentee ballot precinct in Roanoke City puts all their absentee ballots in one precinct. That dumped at the end of the night, and all of a sudden there was a three- or four-fold jump in the number of votes. So it makes it very difficult. I wanted to ask you about Democrat Cameron Webb in the 5th District. That was another race where Democrats thought they could take that seat back. And it did not really turn out to be a barn burner that many thought. Is the 5th District back to being solidly red at this point?
Well, you know, over the last few cycles, Republicans have won that district about the same as what Mr. Good has won it, 52-53%. I have to tell you, I was a bit surprised. I think Bob Good ran an awful campaign, quite frankly. Cameron Webb ran a textbook campaign, starting with the bio ads, keeping his focus local, then going to some of the issue ads, and then, yes, some of the attack ads. But they were lined up. Good, arrogant in a way, from the standpoint, no name recognition, certainly didn't have the money advantage, and there was a certain presumption there in terms of getting a Republican vote. And toward the end, of course, he had to get on the coattails in terms of President Trump. And indeed, his 53% in that district is what President Trump got in that district, the 53%. And so it kind of mirrors. Yes, it stayed Republican. I'm a little bit surprised myself. I thought, indeed, that it would indeed be closer. But it is probably, you would have to say, maybe the third most Republican district in the Commonwealth now, behind the 6th and the 9th.
All right, it is 8:52 at WFIR. We're joined by WFIR political analyst Dr. Bob Denton. And Dr. Denton, back to the presidential campaign for a moment. Are Democratic primary voters, Dr. Denton, in the wrong for maybe not backing someone younger or more charismatic to challenge Donald Trump? And do Democrats, Dr. Denton, you think, have to change their messaging, maybe find a way to appeal more to the heartland? Your thoughts?
Well, there's no question. Think of this. Whoever wins the presidential election, that will be the last baby boomer president in the history of the United States. When you look at the millennials and certainly Generation Z, they are more activated, certainly different philosophical and ideological profile. And that is the future. And so they are voting in larger numbers and much more directed. And so there's no question that one thing that I found surprising, when I looked at the exit polls for Virginia, 70% of those who voted for Biden was voting against Trump. Phenomenal, phenomenal. And so clearly, Biden was, quote, acceptable as a candidate, but not enthusiastic support across the dimensions of the Democratic Party. I think both parties, as it relates to this battle we're going to see about the Electoral College, for example, we are so divided geographically income, race, gender. I mean, you look across this, can we still be the United States of America, or are we going to be the United Republics of America, where the Northeast, in terms of look how they're handling COVID, the different values there regionally, it's very difficult and challenging. So this is an interesting, and I think what we're seeing is a realignment without question, and very different going forward. And Republicans also are going to have the equal kind of challenges coping.
We're talking with Dr. Bob Denton, our political analyst. I'm Gene Moreno, along with Joey Self. We have a couple minutes left, Bob. I wanted to ask you, this is sort of Monday morning quarterbacking, but do you think a Bernie Sanders or an Elizabeth Warren might have done better and you know, helped the Democrats' cause? Someone who might have appealed to younger voters, especially Bernie Sanders.
Well, he certainly had a following, certainly had a message that's very appealing. But I still think when you look at the Democrat identification, if you look at the left and the right, it's still going that far to the left or to the right is still problematic and probably would not be overly successful. There is something about a resume used to count, and what is that resume? And then second, in terms of ideology, I will tell you, though, that of those who said that they are conservative, Donald Trump only got about 84% of those, whereas those who say, self-reported in the exit polls, that they're liberal, Biden got 91% of that vote. So
what does that mean?
That means that those who that Trump underperformed in terms of the conservatives, evangelicals still stayed with him at about 84%. But most of the time, you would want, in terms of your party ID, in your liberal-conservative continuum, you would certainly want to be in the 90%. Biden is right there. So the liberals who self-identify themselves as liberals stayed with Biden, even though obviously he may not have been as progressive as they may have desired.
All right, we're talking with Dr. Bob Denton, political analyst. About a minute or so left, Bob. I'm just wondering, does this change the political landscape at all? Does it mean that Republicans in the Senate and the Congress will be expected to stay even closer to President Trump and his agenda?
I think that keeping the Senate is going to be a powerful tool going forward if it is for President Trump. If Biden wins, then that automatically starts being problematic for Joe Biden. And so this is a pivotal kind of moment. I think that you're going to see two very different approaches in terms of governing, in terms of issues across the board, depending upon who is elected, whether it's Trump or Biden. I don't think there's any question about that. And there'll be a lot of pressure on Biden to move more, to become more progressive, and certainly surround himself with those voices.
If he pulls it out.
If he pulls it out.
Right. And one last question, and about a minute left here, Bob. Is there any chance that if Donald Trump wins a second term, that maybe we see a kinder, gentler Donald Trump? You know, he's won, he's not going to run again, that he might try a little bit harder to maybe unify the country?
Well, you know, that's a crystal ball. It's hard to tell. We always say that, well, Trump is going to be Trump. He has such a history, he has such a style in terms of his whole adult life. I don't think he'd be quite, hopefully, as prickly, maybe not as reactive, perhaps a little bit more reflective. But I declare, how do you predict that? I don't know. One would certainly perhaps hope so. But this does show that personality, no, it's about policy. And it was a referendum. It was a base race and a referendum on Trump. And it shows that people, I think, across the board underestimated that support on policy, not personality.
All right, Dr. Bob Denton, our political analyst, we're going to have to leave it there. Dr. Bob, thank you for getting up early after a late night, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Oh, it's always my pleasure. Thank you.